My name is Colonel Ethan Diven, call sign Outlaw 01. I'm the Commander of Operations Group here at the National Warfighting Training Center and hosting our podcast, Thinking Inside the Box, The Gauntlet, as part of the Warrior Chronicles. The Gauntlet brings you best practices and experiences fresh from leaders that just experienced their rotation at the National Training Center. Today is a special episode with our senior non-commissioned officers. I'm sitting down with Blackjack 7, Command Sergeant Major Eddie Perez, and Dealer 7, First Sergeant Robert Mills. Gentlemen, sergeants, your Blackjack Brigade crushed it during your experience here in the High Mojave in the crucible of ground combat. Generational training. But I want your honest and candid feedback. What it was like to fight here. So, Sergeant Major, first to you. What was harder than you expected?
Thank you for having us. Looking at the brigade, what I saw that was much harder than I expected was dispersion as a brigade, masking the brigade, and maintaining the ability to remain mobile. That was easier said than done. I thought it was going to be easier. Come to realize it was much, much harder than I thought.
When you say masking the brigade, is that utilizing terrain so that as we're maneuvering, the enemy cannot observe us?
No, sir. I was looking more at the electrical magnetic spectrum of the brigade itself.
Yeah, electromagnetic spectrum and masking command posts, the noises from all the different elements of pace.
Yes, sir. When you guys would give us the signature that we produce at each battle period, that was very challenging. And even though we came as a brigade with mitigation on how to protect ourselves with MCOM levels for collecting cell phones and whatnot, we still found ourselves having a huge amount of difficulty masking the brigade.
And Task Force Blackjack employed a unique policy to control the electromagnetic signature with a deliberate electromagnetic control levels where you control personal electronic devices. Did you get feedback kind of at echelon at how emotional that may have been and the return on your investment?
We have. So far, we think it's worked. It's a policy that we expected soldiers to follow. And of course, it's one that involves trust at echelon as well. It's no different than if we were deployed in a real combat theater. Currently, right now, we don't collect cell phones. But if the time comes, you will be required to maybe seal your phones, turn them off and seal them. And then another higher, depending on the threat that we see, you trust your leaders to do the right thing. And at one point, maybe collect cell phones if needed, but not from the very get-go. We have found that to be very successful when it comes to trust. So, yes, absolutely, some good feedback. Can we do better? Yes, we definitely can do better.
And so a best practice, beginning at home station, establishing some rules where based on threat levels and vulnerability and what the brigade's doing, allowing troopers to maintain their phones, and then reducing activity, so not allowing location services to potentially show our adversaries where we are, and then when the time comes to potentially get ready to move to tactical assembly areas and LD, then we turn them off, put them in what we would call evidence bags and seal them, but allow troopers to maintain accountability. And then if it really got significantly dangerous to maintain those, collect them up in a professional but controlled way. I would offer that has been a best practice that we've seen brigades come through here, and you were very disciplined and very professional in how you managed that. And you did get a return on your investment for sure. All right, First Sergeant, over to you. So you are the HHC Brigade First Sergeant. What was harder than you expected?
Definitely balancing the dispersion of the brigade to make it not look like a brigade talk and maintaining security. Pushing vehicles out too far. Though I had dispersion, I wasn't 100% secured that we were secured. So it took me a few jumps, a few nights to get comfortable with it. At the end, we did a lot better. A lot of vehicles, as walking at night, you tend to kind of want to clump together for security, be next to your wingman. So getting those vehicles spread out, using that micro terrain to really mask what we really are was harder than I expected. Coming into this, I had an idea in my mind. Like most things, it didn't survive first contact. I adjusted, and I think at the end, we did a lot better.
And something that's unique about being an HHC Brigade First Sergeant is you don't have platoons. So you don't have actual platoon sergeants that you can go to drive action. How did you overcome that, and whose help did you enlist to make that happen?
So fortunately, most of my sections now are ran by master sergeants. So I got some seniors up there and just really building an internal battle rhythm, using them to put out the information, using their experience and their military occupational specialties, and then just getting them to buy in for the other tasks that aren't included in their day job. My NCOs did a great job in helping me out.
A rotation at the NTC is full of things that we aren't expecting. What surprised you the most, Blackjack 7?
Yes, sir. Great question. The most surprising event that caught my attention was the increased rate of fratricide in the brigade. Although I do believe it is a troubling trend across our armor formation, I think our brigade was a little bit higher than most, and it's something that we are going to tackle from the day we get back. Suggesting we maintain situational awareness, crew discipline, communications failure to practice control measures, all of those things coming into place, and that's all great. Those are things that have to happen. What we realized we're missing is that crew discipline. You can have all those elements in place, but if the crew doesn't have the discipline, it's still going to happen. And in our formation, I believe that's what's missing. So we're going to get after that element to ensure that we're not committing friendly fire when we don't need to do that.
And there's also a material aspect to that as well, with combat identification panels and thermal tape. And Lieutenant Diven remembers once upon a time there being a division-driven standard as to what all vehicles were going to be marked as that helped easily identify other folks. I know you're working with Pegasus 7. Is there efforts across the senior NCOs in the 1st Cavalry Division to reestablish that?
Yes, sir. Pegasus 7 was here. He's also very alarmed about our ability to identify targets. And of course, all the marking procedures that you just talked about, whether it's thermal tape, CIP panels. However, the fundamental element, it still remains with that crew discipline. When gunners are firing without fire commands, when gunners are doing X without the commander telling them to fire, that involves that crew discipline that we got to get after. It's a cultural thing, and we will have to get after that in order to maintain that lethality.
What are you most proud of for the brigade?
Yes, sir. What I am most proud of this brigade is our ability to adapt and learn, given that as a brigade, we were just put together. Leaders were coming to our formation and being part of this Blackjack Brigade as we were flying into the National Training Center. So having that ability to adapt and overcome a well-thinking enemy and dangerous terrain, that's what makes me the most proud. Our ability to remain a learning organization and show that although we came in like this, we could do more with less.
First, Sergeant, to you, what was harder than you expected?
The dispersion and the security of the brigade talk.
Why was that hard?
Just trying to balance the dispersion and ensuring that we also were secure. Once you get too spread out, there's holes in your line, but also making sure the talk was functional, placing the right vehicles and the right people in the locations that made sense.
Really powerful response, the balance of functionality, being able to accomplish the task that it is built for, but also with survivability, having a secure perimeter and still being able to communicate when the time came for us to jump our command posts. What are you most proud of?
I'm very proud of the cohesiveness of the team that we built during this rotation. Fairly new staff. Staff primaries are new. A lot of the NCOs are new. And we haven't done a whole lot. We've done some CPX, but we've never been out to the field in these conditions. I think the first time we jumped, we were looking at 8 hours. Break down, move, and set back up and be fully operational. The last jump we did, we're down to about 4 hours. And that's just really a testament to the NCOs and the officers really rolling up their sleeves, working together as a team. You know, S2s helping S3, S4s helping S6. Just realizing it's just not S3's problem, but it's a brigade problem. Let's get it done. Let's move on. So yeah, so very proud of the team.
And so how are you going to use your experience here at the National Training Center to inform home station training back at Fort Cavazos?
Been a lot of conversation between myself and the commander these past couple of days. I'm looking at getting out, getting the staff comfortable being uncomfortable. Get out of the office, do some nighttime training, do in different conditions. A lot of loom, no loom. You can't control the loom. You can't use that as an excuse. You got to get out there and get used to driving on even terrain and in difficult weather conditions and getting the paralegal, getting the geospatial techs that they are soldiers. They have day jobs, but you got to be able to fill those radios. You got to be able to drive under nods in difficult conditions. So we're going to look at that. We're going to revamp it and use that leader's time training that Captain Fowler used and really, hone on those skill level 10 tasks and just get better every day, sir.
And then what advice do you have for leaders that have an ATC rotation in their future?
Be patient, especially at an HHC brigade. It's not a line company. Different experiences and different MOSs. And do the hard training on the front end. It'll make NTC a lot easier. Do that hard work. Get out there, train. Get in those difficult conditions. And that's the advice I'd give to someone coming in as a HHC brigade first sergeant.
Tough, realistic home station training. But patience, because they have day jobs and you're bringing them together to train to fight.
Absolutely, sir.
Sergeant Major, how are you going to use your experience here to inform home station training?
Yes, sir. That's something that we have been talking a lot lately, and basically just boils down to operationalizing everything we do. When I mean everything, I mean even when we pick up parts at the SSA, we build a log pack where there's two LNTVs and a PLS, and then you move as a convoy. That forces people to check 5988s, dispatches are being done and correct, QAQCs, radios, JBCPs, everything happens. It is a multi-echelon event. You pick up your parts, you drive back together. To that point, we will operationalize everything. And that will be the advice that I have for anyone coming into the National Training Center, trying to operationalize everything you do. Where there is a gunnery, there's no such thing as an administrative move. From the moment you draw weapons to PCC, PCIs, to tanks or Bradley staggered turrets over the side, that pre-combat check inspection by the platoon leadership, to LD, to conducting herringbone operations before you hit the range, everything gets operationalized would be my best advice for anyone coming into the National Training Center.
Now, after our first battle period, you created some guidance that went out through the NCOs inside Task Force Blackjack that were stand to procedures for the brigade. What did you observe or not observe that led you to want to communicate that from the brigade command sergeant major?
Yes, sir. Before coming to the National Training Center, I've been fortunate to have some friends who have negotiated here at the National Training Center. And given their lessons learned, one of the biggest things that they were not able to get after is that readiness, that stand to readiness, right? Having the ability to defend and be ready to go when the time came. So coming in, I already knew that I wanted to be ready when the time came. So stand to operations, bringing it down to the lowest level is how we mitigate that. Now, were we successful at all times? No, absolutely not. I think we still have a lot of work to do. I think defining those tasks helped. I wanted to go with 6 to 7 tasks, something that could be easily for someone to remember or carry on their pocket or hang it on the GPS, than just having a standard 32 checks, right? So we didn't want to go with that. We wanted to go with the most simple way possible, but more effective way to get after those main tasks that had to be done prior to defending.
Did you get feedback from the battalion and squadron command sergeants major or first sergeants on how that was being incorporated or things that needed to be added to or taken away?
Yes, sir. Definitely did. It was a great start. However, different warfighting functions, the BSB, different than 1-5 infantry battalion. So once we come back, we're going to put it into our tax op and redefine what it is by fighting function. What is the minimum required to be ready to fight or defend? And I think that will be incredibly helpful for our second go around here at the National Training Center.
Sounds like a great effort for the NCOs in the Blackjack Brigade to codify and really experiment with during your home station train up and then get feedback and then potentially share across the force, because you've got other ABCTs, not just in the 1st Cavalry Division, but really across our Army that would absolutely be interested in that best practice coming from the Brigade Command Sergeant Major. What advice do you have for leaders? You mentioned operationalizing everything, but getting their heads right, things to focus on to get ready to come and fight here at the NTC. Any advice for them?
Yes, sir. The advice remains the same. I think thinking through operationalizing everything that you do, thinking with that mindset is what's going to make you successful out here. You know, for us, I know we talked about this with my brigade commander in Pegasus 7. We are going to go back and relook at quarter 1 and 2, how we're going to train, given lessons learned, not lessons forgotten, so that we can capitalize on that and train on those lessons learned. And that's what's going to make us more lethal and better prepared for 2602.
How did you share the load and make sure that you and the commander were not focused on the same things during your rotation here?
For us, it was simple. The brigade commander and I have a great relationship. I spend the nights at the talk. That's when we will sync, perhaps have some family dinners, and talk about operations. In the morning, I will wake up, get my 2-minute drill, and then the brigade commander will say, hey, what are your focuses are today? And I would tell him. If it was in line with his focuses, he'd be like, hey, perfect. We were never together at the same place for the most part. We will always be in different places. He focused more on the fighting. Of course, as a brigade sergeant major, it is my job to ensure that the brigade commander never has to worry about committing forces. Those forces and vehicles are always available for him to commit. So that's why I felt that I was needed most, and that's why I put all of my effort, likewise with the rest of the command sergeant majors in the battalions, to ensure that their commanders didn't have to worry about committing forces, because they were always available.
Very powerful, and I'm sure that was part of the secret sauce that makes the Blackjack Brigade so lethal and so successful during Rotation 2502. So First Sergeant Dealer 7 and Sergeant Major Blackjack 7, it was a pleasure not just to spend time with you here asking some questions, but also to see how you led, how you fought, and how you drove readiness and lethality as some of the best that our backbone has to offer. And as a proud former alum of the Blackjack Brigade, I am incredibly proud to have spent some time fighting and getting better with you here at the crown jewel of our Army. As always, the team here at Ops Group, our observer, coach, and trainers, continue to be on your team. Just because you are regenerating combat power and about to load out and head back to Cavazos does not mean the relationship is over. We hang products all over the place, from our Mill Suite page to our TAC Talks that are on YouTube, but you know we're only a Teams call, an email, or a phone call away. We've had the pleasure of hanging out with the senior enlisted from the Blackjack Brigade.
So I am Outlaw 01. Thank you for listening to this episode of Thinking Inside the Box, The Gauntlet, our podcast at the Operations Group at the National Training Center as part of the Warrior Chronicles. We hope you enjoy this episode.